You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I didn't know it went back quite that far. I thought this was a more recent Sean McVay
battle between Sedano and
Mason.
I like Morales reading the text, "You've lost a friend." Well, there's so much drama leading up to that.
I've had friends that you kind of fall out of touch with,
yeah,
and it just the friendship kind of fizzles.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I've ever had a friendship that just we were friends one day and we weren't the next because of a thing. Have you ever had that?
So I got a buddy of mine who I think it's kind of similar. Just look, over time, there's certain people that, and I consider him a friend, but I also don't talk to him very often. I also don't text him very often. It happens.
Yeah.
Takes it so personal.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What did you do to him?
I didn't do anything. The guy had...
Maybe that was a problem.
No, it is the problem. It is the problem. The problem is that I guess he feels like... But this is so funny to me. When somebody says to you, you know what? You don't reach out. You don't do this. You don't do that. My man, you're not reaching out to me either.
Yeah, that's two-way street.
It's not like you're reaching out to me and I'm avoiding not texting you or calling you back.
I've done that.
Kind of works both ways. But that's okay. If somebody was actively reaching out to me and they were like, hey, you're an a-hole. You don't reach out to me. I would say, you're right. Like, I can see that. But the other side of it is you're not reaching out to me and I'm supposed to.
Yeah, sometimes I'm just good. Like, I feel like I've mined that already and I've decided that I don't need to do it anymore. But not over Sean McVay. I've never lost a friend over McVay. I don't have to ask Mace about this. We'll have a super crosstalk coming up here a little bit less than 1 hour from right now. I don't know if this qualifies as a senior moment or whatever. I was telling you guys this a second ago. Segment ends, and you know, so you and I sometimes will kind of hightail it to the men's room to kind of, you know.
Pretty much every break.
Yeah, a lot. I get all the way down there, and I realize I don't need to do that. I meant to walk to the kitchen to get a glass of water. I just went to the wrong place for no reason. I think it might be a cookie hangover. It could be a lot of different things.
Yeah, a couple questions there. So when you did you enter the restroom?
Yes.
Okay, so you get into the restroom. So at this point, are you saying, well, I'm already here. I'm going to wash my hands. I don't need to wash my hands. Like, do you do something just in case if somebody else is there so that you don't walk in and then all of a sudden decide when you make eye contact with somebody else that you're now exiting the restroom without washing your hands?
I had gotten further than into the restroom. I had gotten to the point where
you're at the stall?
I was getting ready to unbuckle. And I'm like, I don't need to use the bathroom. What do you mean?
Okay, no, that's crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't know.
Not like sometimes, you know, look to you, safety first, right? Yeah. Nothing. Just, I don't need to do this. And I walked back.
And you just walked out.
Came back in here and told Emily and Taylor, like, yeah, I'm officially losing my mind.
I heard you telling the story in there, and in my head, I was just kind of like, I don't know what to do for him. I don't know how I could help him in this situation.
You could just make sure that if it gets any worse, like you send someone out to look for me. Because next I could walk to Starbucks and never come back. You just have to make sure that I always.
Where's Trav? Honestly,
you know
I have no idea.
I really have no idea. Because you're a pixel guy. I'll share my location with one of you people. So you'll always know where I am in case I wander off.
Well, Pixel has internet.
Yeah, but I can't shoot on the iPhone. I can
send
shoot
a pin.
Yeah, it's so much simpler when you have all the same iOS.
It really does.
You just got your green bubble and all that stuff.
Do you share your location with anyone?
Susan and the kids, I do.
Huh.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his State Farm agent.
And the friend that you've not talked to anymore.
Yeah. I'm not kidding you. I still struggle.
People take these personal, and I'm like, I didn't even know. I didn't know you were even feeling those emotions. Until you send me a text telling me you're feeling those emotions.
I'm still stuck on your green bubbles. I haven't re-added you. It still comes in as just your phone number, and I have to scroll back to see who it's from
for
context clues. Yep. Bothers me a lot.
I'll be okay.
And it bothers me that it doesn't bother you. I think that's like the higher level of botherness is that it doesn't bother you.
I will tell you this, now having the phone for a couple of months, everything's fine.
Not for everybody.
Well, I can't help everybody. I can only help myself on this. In the beginning, it was really tough. Like, what the heck is going on here? But over time, it's a phone. It has apps. You make calls.
Not all of them.
And the world continues.
Not all of them. The Lakers tried to do what they've been doing for, what, 3 weeks now? They have a game in hand. All they need to do is close it out. Just play a good 40 seconds, a minute or so of smart, heady, aggressive basketball.
Difference is they finally won a game.
Yeah, the difference is that they didn't. It went to overtime again, but instead of losing in overtime, they found a way to win in overtime. But the last, what, 45 seconds, maybe a minute, minute and a half, was so end of Laker gamey that it was infuriating.
So I'll go down on this one's going to be a little bit different, but for me, I actually have some legitimate concern about the Lakers now, and I think
now,
yeah,
you what know, changed.
I was waiting for AD to come back. Mm. Nobody in the West is running away with anything. I like the Rui deal. Rui was actually nice yesterday, 8 of 12 from the field. I think 18 and 9, something along those lines, and they started him. But last night. And, Trav, it's not like I can make some excuses for the Lakers, but the problem is you're running out of time and you're running out of excuses. If they'd have lost yesterday to the Knicks, who had the final possession of the game and could have easily won the game after they were up 6, they'd have been 6 games below 500. Now you're getting closer back to, remember, they started the season out 2-10. It'd have been the closest they'd been to when they were 8 games below 500 than they ever have. My concern with the Lakers is this. LeBron's playing great. AD just came back. Lonnie's back in the lineup. They're the healthiest they've really been in a long time. They're going to get Austin Reeves back soon. They go make a trade for somebody that they really need, a 6'8 wing. What really I think is concerning me about the Lakers right now is they're so bad at the end of games. The good teams around the league, that's when they're at their best.
Sure.
That's when they say, hey, 2 minutes left to go. This squad is lucky that they're still in the game against us. Let's close it out. That's what we do. We close out games like this. And for the Lakers, it's actually kind of funny. Mark sent this. He texted. He said, "Why do I feel like I just ran a marathon watching this game?" And I think every Laker fan, you were exhausted by the time overtime was done, as if we were playing in the game. The Lakers, I don't know what they do at end of games.
Nothing.
And it starts. It's already cost them some games. You could look and say, yeah, but Al, this, that. It has cost them some games. And even if it's cost them 2 or 3 games, that could be the difference of making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. So last night was a win that they desperately needed. It was against a Knicks team that's, you know, couple games over 500. But it was a very frustrating game by the time it was all said and done because I don't know what's going to change in some of these end game situations. That part's really concerning.
Well, yes, I agree with that last thing. But what should change is the coach should call some plays. The coach should call some timeouts. The coach should get some guys on the floor who understand how to execute end of game situations and why LeBron is doing it the way he is, why AD is doing it the way these guys have been around a long time. They should be doing better than they are. The problem is he just lets it go. And it keeps going badly. They got pretty lucky last night, quite frankly.
They got lucky
yeah. that, like you said,
should have won the game in regulation.
New York didn't win the game at the end. And then, you know, they played well in overtime, so give them credit for that. But I'm not even talking about, like, with this team, 4 games under, 6 games under, to me, it's virtually the same, right? That I don't know if it's not that, well, now I'm concerned because it's 4 as opposed to 6. Just the eye test on this team. The whole season has been underwhelming. There have been moments where it looks pretty good, but generally speaking, here you are, 2/3 of the season completed, and they're still at the bottom of the Western Conference or very close to it. They have never poked their heads out of it. They've gotten this guy back or that guy back, or this guy's played well on one night, a different guy's played well on another night. LeBron's been pretty fantastic more or less the entire season, and they're still not moving anywhere. The same problem from 3 weeks ago was the same problem last night. There is no indicator that says, hey, this is getting better. Mm-hmm. There was a little, when AD was going crazy, that was, hey, this is getting better. Since then, not really.
I disagree with that. I think without Anthony Davis, there were moments for me that I thought they were playing better than they should without Anthony Davis.
They had to move out of the spot. That's what I'm getting. I'm not talking about like one, I'm saying they've been in that spot all season. Long.
So the reason why I say it is I think they went 10-10 without AD, something like that. I didn't think they'd go 10-10. You're right, they didn't move out of that spot because they did go 10-10, right? They were 500 that entire way. My problem with them more than anything else right now is, and I get the Darvin Ham piece of it because that is your head coach. And Darvin Ham, one of the things I think players really like about him, guys, I'm not going to sit here and hold your hand the entire time. You guys are vets. Go do you. Mm-hmm. At the same time, he does that too much in late-game situations where, Darvin Ham, if there's ever a time against Philly and Russ is fumbling the ball and you don't have a play, call timeout. If a play, we'll go back, I think the Boston play, or I'm sorry, not Boston. No, it was Boston where Patrick Beverly fouls. He can't do anything about Patrick Beverly fouling, but he could have fouled before so that they don't take a three. There's certain things I put on Darvin Ham. Bron yesterday, I mean, I think this goes back to Bron as well. He's also been in the league for obviously 20 years. He's 38 minutes in, and I think he does things at the end of games because he's freaking tired, which is why you need to run a play, which is why you need to
call a timeout
and just kind of settle it down.
Yes.
Guys, we're going to run this set, this, that. Let's at least just get the shot we're looking for. The whole dribbling the ball for a 24-second shot. By the way, there's a minute 30 left, and you're only up six. They're going to get enough possessions to go back the other way. That, to me, is the most frustrating when I watch the Lakers.
Well, I'm going to go back to dad mode here for a second. Darvin Ham is doing dad mode, which is, hey, I'm going to let you guys figure this out, right? You guys have been around a long time. You guys should know what to do, and go ahead. You guys do end-of-game situations. It's like with a parent, like, look, you can do your homework however you want. I'm going to wait for the report card to come in, and then we're going to decide whether or not this works or not, right? If my oldest... No, this doesn't work. Now I'm going to ask you every day, what do you have to do with your homework? What is it? With Kelly, she did it. Great. Do whatever you're doing, keep doing
it. Sure.
But when the report card comes in and you're blowing it the same way every single night,
I got to step
in. That's when I have to step in. I have to say, guys, I know that you've been in this league a long time. I know I'm a rookie, but we can't do this. Why are we defending the three-point line? Why are we not doing this? Why aren't we fouling? Why are we taking that foul? Why are we taking such bad shots late in the game, even though, to your point, Al, there's going to be plenty of possessions for the other team to get the ball back?
Yeah.
This is not just, well, they've been around a long time. Yeah, but they're not winning. They're not doing it correctly. That's the point. Coach isn't there to micromanage every decision that's being made. You're there to kind of readjust it when it gets offline, and it's been way offline.
Can I simplify it here? If they're not better late game execution, they make the playoffs. Like that's how a lot of these games are going to come down to. They're going to come down to teams are going to be fighting, positioning, standings. You're playing Memphis, Golden State, all this stuff. It's as simple as this. They continue to be this poorly towards the end of games. Just not going to get into the postseason. Can I throw a number at you real quick? So Bron's 89 points away from breaking Kareem's record.
Yep.
I want to apologize to everyone on the show because why 2 weeks ago I didn't say, guys, we're buying up all the OKC tickets and the Bucks tickets. Get in price right now for the I think it's going to happen. He's got, I think, do 29 a game to get.
Yeah, he's 89 back.
29 a game. So the OKC game, something like 29, 30,
it's
28,
it's 30,
whatever it is.
30 breaks it. 30 a game breaks it by one.
Right. Okay, so the OKC game, which is three games away, so you still got a game against the Pacers at Indiana, at New Orleans on Saturday, and then OKC is going to be here at Crypto.
Yep.
To get in to go see Shai Gilgeous and the other 39 draft picks, which, by the way, give OKC credit, they're playing good.
Big Josh Giddey guy.
Three... Fair enough. $364 just to get in. And then for the Milwaukee Bucks game, $450 just to get in. Why 2 weeks ago I didn't say, guys, let's round up every penny that we have. Let's go buy these tickets.
So they play tomorrow at Indiana, and they play Saturday New Orleans.
Let's say he does 30 and 30.
Is he going to play in both of those games?
Yeah, there's no back-to-backs at this point, so I think he will be.
Because there's a scenario, unlikely, there's a scenario he could break it in New Orleans. It's 45
right.
a game.
Right.
It's unlikely, but it's not crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder if, and I guess maybe it depends a little bit on what the score of the New Orleans game is. If they're up 15 or down 15, maybe, and he's maybe
well,
he pulling it back so he can do it here.
I think he goes off for 90.
Well, he could treat that game against New Orleans because it's at the iconic Smoothie King Center. It could be the place that he wants to break it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know what would be weird? The only thing that would be odd, let's say he goes 30 and 30, and now he's 29 away. I think the last thing that I want to see is during that OKC game, like he got 25. And now all of a sudden he's five away. And I say that because it's going to happen so quick in the other game that sometimes it being you're in the fourth quarter, it's a little bit later in the game that he breaks it.
Yeah. What difference does it make?
I just don't want to. You got 25 already in that game. You're 5 points away. Yeah. Everybody who's there, and there's
they're gonna be
2 minutes left
nuts.
To go in the fourth quarter, and then all of a sudden it's like, he didn't break it here. No. He missed two shots, and now we're going to do it in Milwaukee.
I just drained $360 or whatever.
That's gambling, I guess. I in a close game, it would be kind of weird if it happens in like a game that's a basket or two, right?
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to win the game at that point, and you've got this unbelievable milestone that's looming over. Whereas if he's 5 points short, it's like, well, this is going to happen in the first quarter. You know it's going to happen. You could just sit back and enjoy it.
If you bought the OKC game and you're in the fourth quarter and he's 8 points away and you got six, it's like, oh, that's interesting.
An unbelievable achievement, and it feels more national than local to me. It feels like the NBA at large is super plugged into this. Laker fans feel like they're the next tier down. We'll do that next. I want to talk to you about that. That's coming up. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Classic, The Fray. Love it. So here's another fact in my facts of the day about Tom Brady. Tom Brady's announced his retirement, so here is something the more you know. So Brady has a 35-13 career playoff record, which is a .745 win percentage, more than twice as many wins as any other quarterback in NFL history.
Jeez.
He's also nearly matched the playoff production of any franchise in NFL history. So, the Patriots have 36 playoff wins in the Super Bowl era. They are tied with four teams for the most playoff wins in the Super Bowl era. Sorry, they are one of four teams. There are three other teams with 36 playoff wins. So, what are the other three teams?
The Niners have to be one of them.
Ding.
Steelers on there.
Ding.
Yep.
Packers on there.
Nope.
So, okay, I'm not giving this my answer. I want you to workshop this for me for a second. Are the Cowboys on there? Because they had the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They were in it all. And now they haven't been in it
I'd
for 30
no
years.
I'd say no because how long they've been out, but Cowboys won?
It is the Cowboys. Yeah. Yeah. So the Steelers have 36, the Cowboys have 36, and the 49ers have 36.
I'm going to throw another one in there, but no, for the same reason.
You got
That's
them
it.
All.
That's four.
Oh, we got them
That's
all?
That's a four.
Yeah.
Wait, who did I skip over?
So we have the Steelers,
Niners.
The Cowboys, and the Niners.
Oh, it's only three others.
Yeah,
three
sorry. Others. They're
total.
One of four.
Do you have the list beyond that?
So, no, I only have this. So this is what the list says. It says Steelers at 36, Patriots at 36, Cowboys at 36, 49ers at 36, and 30 of those Patriot wins have come from with Tom Brady.
Yeah. Yep.
And then Tom Brady himself has 35 playoff wins as a Tom Brady as a quarterback.
And Texans 34.
I was wondering if the Raiders might have snuck in there too. Because 70s, 80s, Raiders.
Cowboys I would not have guessed because they went through such a stretch without.
But they were in it every year in the 70s. They were in it mostly every year in the 80s. They were definitely in it through the first part of the
dominating,
90s.
Dominating, yep.
Yeah, no question. All right, so LeBron is going to break the record either on the 7th against OKC or the 9th against Milwaukee if he just kind of plays the way he's been playing all season.
Yeah.
30 a game puts him over the mark, and that would happen against Milwaukee. It's an extraordinary event.
Mm-hmm.
It is I don't even know how to put it in the context of other things, that anytime you are the all-time blank, and especially if it's home runs, points, touchdowns, like the goals, the thing that makes the game win, right? You have to score points to win the game. It is a huge deal. This is a huge deal, and it's being treated like a huge deal. Every time you turn on a Laker game on TNT or ESPN or NBA TV.
The LeBron tracker.
Absolutely.
The all-time.
You're around it far more than I am. Mm-hmm. Far more than I am. I don't get the sense that Laker fans are counting this down basket by basket. That they're waiting with bated breath for, hey, when's it going to happen? Is it to you, like you said a second ago, is it going to happen early in the game where everybody's just kind of getting loose, or is it going to come? Is it going to knock down a three to win a game and break the record? Like mm-hmm. there's all these different scenarios. It just feels like, yeah, when it happens, we're all going to be excited and amazed by it. But it feels more national than local to me.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think that individual records, you think people get more excited when you don't see something coming? I'm going to kind of explain what I'm talking about here. So obviously, I got a long runway. You knew it was going to happen. You knew coming into the season.
We've been kind of keeping track of this for the better part of 5 or 8 years.
Well, the coming into this year, there was a lot of, hey, it's going to happen around game 50 or 40-something. Depends if you miss this, whatever it is. There was a game, I think, a week ago or so. And John Ireland, during the broadcast, turns around. He says, hey, do you see what Dame is doing? And I had no idea. So I look. Dame had 60, and there's still like a full quarter to go. He had maybe 9 threes at that point, or he was close to 60. And all of a sudden, it's like you're glued, and you didn't know what was coming. It wasn't expected. Klay gets the 37 in a quarter. If you know 20 points into that quarter, everybody now is tuning in. Oh, my gosh, something could be happening. I don't know if it has anything to do with this, that there's such a long runway to get there that – you're just kind of like, all right, well, if he's 25 games away, what do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. When he's 20 games away, what do you want me to do? And now that we're within the next week, it's going to get done. I think the attention that it's getting, I'm not surprised by it. I think when you think of LeBron James, he didn't play 20 years with the Los Angeles Lakers. You have an appreciation and a respect for LeBron James of what he's done to the game and mm-hmm. how he's done it from his first game against the Sacramento Kings, the Game 7 against Cleveland, the Miami years, whether you liked it or not. I think you have an appreciation for LeBron James and what he's done. He helped the Lakers win championship number 17. He tied the Boston Celtics, and he's the main reason because of that. I think at the same time, you're never going to have a connection to Bron like you would for some of these other Laker greats. Go look up, you know, go see the jerseys that are retired. A connection to Kobe, you can't touch. A connection to Magic, you can't touch. A connection with Kareem, James Worthy. Even some of these guys that, you know, I say Worthy, I'm using Worthy as a... Worthy has a connection to Laker fans.
Sure.
And I think with LeBron, you try as best as you can to... Tom Brady retired today again, but he retired. And instantly in my head, it's like, did I appreciate what this dude was doing every week? I don't know if I can appreciate every week what he's doing when he's doing it. And I think we're going to say the same thing about LeBron James. I think there's an appreciation there, but I think it's a little different.
Yeah, it's very different. It's very, very different because of what you said, that LeBron has played for 3 different teams, 4 if you want to count Cleveland twice, right? That this is his team that he's probably least identified with, right? And maybe not. Maybe by the time it's all said and done, especially if he wins another championship with the Lakers, maybe the Lakers and the Heat can kind of be on equal footing. But
I agree. The Heatles, that was a thing. Yeah,
they went to the finals 4 years in a row, mm-hmm. right? You go to the finals 4 years in a row, it's a big deal. Mm-hmm. He played with 2 other transcendent players. And they were just amazing. That this is where it's going to happen feels like I love it's respect, it's admiration, it's all those things, but it's not, oh my gosh. It just doesn't have that personal connection the way that if it were Kobe Bryant, it would be different. Not better or worse, but it would be just very, very different if it were somebody like that. And you said something that I hadn't really thought about before.
Like it would be different for Cleveland if he was there today and he was about to break that record.
For sure it would, because that's where where it feels like his team. Like at the end of the day, fast forward 40 years, you're going to think of LeBron as a Cleveland Cav, I think. I think that's the way that it's going to go. I hadn't thought about it until you said it like this. this is a record of inevitability. This was going. I remember when I was doing pre and post, saying to Ireland, and I haven't done the Laker games in 5 or 6 years, saying to him, I said, you know, if LeBron continues to average 25 points a game, he's going to break the record right here. And we're kind of like, yeah. And it wasn't a crazy thing. He was doesn't get hurt, all of these things. Like, it was just inevitable. It was a long way away,
sure,
but it was inevitable. For instance, Cal Ripken, when he broke that record, there was always this, hey, look, he could get hit by a pitch and break his hand, and this thing comes to an end every time he goes to bat. It wasn't inevitable. It was a home run record. You're not guaranteed. You could go a week without hitting a home run, 2 weeks. LeBron James is going to score 25 points every night. Maybe once in a blue moon he'll get 20. Once in a blue moon he'll get 50.
It was more going to be a question of is he going to be able to play the games.
That's it. Yep. It was a record of inevitability, and now the finish line is right here, and it's amazing. But there really was never a moment where you thought he wasn't going to get here, and I think that's exactly right. I didn't know if Mark McGwire was going to catch Roger Maris. I didn't know if Barry Bonds was going to catch Hank Aaron. You just didn't know. I didn't know if Cal Ripken was going to catch Lou Gehrig, because there was this uncertainty if it could keep going, if they would get cold, if they would get old, if they would get hurt. LeBron was so that over the last year, and especially over the last couple of months, it's just inevitable. He's that consistent and reliable and good that this was coming. And now that it's here, it's like, well, of course it is. We knew it's been coming for 5 years.
So I'm going to give... I don't know how much this weighs into it. Maybe it has some way, maybe it doesn't. The Lakers right now are in 13th place in the Western Conference.
That doesn't help either.
And by the way, LeBron has nothing to do with it. AD is not available. And if Anthony Davis is... Can you tell me, at least from LeBron's perspective, I feel like the man has done his part, that usually when we say why the Lakers are not what you're hoping they would be, AD's name comes up because he's not available compared to Bron, who has made himself available. Being at these games since post-COVID, and when fans are in there, it's as when Bron does something, it is as it's as rocking as the place can get when LeBron James does something. Whether he gets a dunk, whether this, he gets the place rocking. But I think there's a lot of times too. What's the performance of the team look like can also change some of it. The performance of the team is 4 games below .500. They're 13th in the West. And maybe if they had the Memphis record or the Denver record or the Sacramento record, maybe it is a little bit different.
You know what it is. He's too good. It really is. It's just this was never a question of whether he was going to get here. There was a question whether Barry Bonds would catch Hank Aaron. There's a question whether Cal Ripken would. That just, you never really knew. And with LeBron, it's like, yeah, he's going to do it.
Like, you took it for granted. Yeah. That it's going to happen.
He's going to do it.
There wasn't suspense.
Only something so unforeseen was going to prevent this from happening.
Yeah.
And it didn't. That he's too good. Yeah, I'm 20 years in, and I'm putting up 30 a night, and everybody's like, yeah, fine. That's stupid.
That is stupid.
That he's gonna bury Kareem.
Mm-hmm.
He's gonna score 40,000 points.
Oh yeah, no, that's no question about
right?
it.
Right?
Yep.
And it's gonna be like, yeah, that's stupid. And we're just like, yeah, it was cool. Way to go.
Top four in assists.
Stop. Freddie Freeman was talking yesterday, and Al, I like that the Dodgers are a little bit salty. I'm enjoying
Should
it.
Be.
It's coming up next. Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, since this is the last segment before the dump, I'm going to get some of my Tom Brady facts out of the way before the end of the show, and there are the more you know about Tom Brady. All right, so who has the most touchdowns from Tom Brady?
It's got to be Gronk, right?
Alan?
Yeah, I think that's the obvious one. How many years did they play together?
Well, two in Tampa, mm-hmm. and then however many they had. Let's say it was six.
It's not
going to
be
Green
like
Bay. It's eight.
It's not going to be Welker. I don't think it's going to be something like that.
Randy Moss wasn't there long enough.
No, he wasn't.
It's got to be Gronk.
It is Gronk, and it's not even close. Yeah. So it's Gronk by a mile, and also because he was in Buccaneers with him, too. So
who's 11th on that list?
Do you have who's second?
Second in the touchdowns is, I have it right here, Randy Moss, 39. Yeah.
Randy Moss was
in that short period of a time. Yeah. Oh my.
It was crazy.
Yeah. He was on that team that went 18-0.
Yeah.
And I mean, he was scoring. It felt like he scored three touchdowns.
Best is when
game.
He just ran. Great cash, just ran straight.
I
just stole the ball up.
How does this sound? How about 6'5", fastest guy in the league, jump higher than anyone in the league, and really, really good at playing football.
He wasn't open. Yeah, just throw it up.
I came out the womb, I was ready.
All right, so I have another one. I have two more, and then I'll step aside. So this is Brady is the fourth player in the NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL history to win multiple titles after their 40th birthday, joining whom? It's three other people.
Three other people, multiple titles.
Multiple titles after 40.
I'm going to throw, and I have no idea how long he played for. Bill Russell there?
After
I don't think he played till 40.
I don't think so either.
Kareem, I don't think they were. Oh, no, Kareem.
Kareem might be on the list. Is Kareem
ding,
on the
ding,
list?
That is one. Yeah. That is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Okay.
After 40.
Gretzky, I don't think, had multiple after. Oh, is there a hockey player on the list?
It is not hockey players. It's actually two MLB players.
Two MLB. I was going to say like a Chris Chelios who was played
probably
go was
back
85.
To your.
After 40, the guys didn't play after 40 in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Is it fairly modern?
I have no idea. I don't even know who these people are. So
I don't definitely know. Wally Joyner.
Yeah, I don't know.
So it's Jack Quinn and Enos Slaughter.
Enos Slaughter.
So I did not know who
Taylor, you he was mouthing it to me. Taylor, Enos,
he
had
of course.
It.
Who was the first one you said?
Jack Quinn. Yeah, so who knows? And my last one is
good dude.
Tom Brady was drafted in the 18th round of the MLB draft in 1995 by the Montreal Expos. So he was the last active professional athlete that was drafted by the Montreal Expos.
That's a good one.
It's cool.
I like that. I like that. The Expos, by the way, should be brought back for no other reason. You know what I'm going to say. What do I love? What do I get super geeked out for no good reason about?
Jerseys?
Yes.
Yeah, that is a great.
They have unbelievable
fantastic.
Uniforms.
They I think
have
of
that little EMB, the little logo on their hat.
Yep.
One of the great hats of all time. They should have Montreal Expos for no other reasons. Just
still flying off the shelves.
The Diamondbacks should be the Montreal Expos. Just put on Montreal gear and wear that. So
the
good.
Nationals logo is just sent to the Walgreens.
Walgreens.
Logo.
Arizona's gear.
Awful.
What are they doing?
Nobody's is worse.
What are they doing?
Nobody's is worse.
Yeah, you're right.
And that the Expos are just in the dustpan of history.
Come on.
Sucks. One of my favorites.
Well, it's
ones.
Almost like in the NBA, and I love this, that the Sonics kept all their stuff so that when a team comes back, they could use it.
Like the Browns.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Seattle had, that's there's so many different types of jerseys. That's where I look at in the NBA. I'm like, that's ugly. I like the Sonics.
Cool colors.
Their gear.
Cool logo. And the old one with the Space Needle. Not the one with the basketball. That was terrible.
Space Needle, yep.
Yeah, the Space Needle.
I don't have to do this again in a year.
The Jack Sigma one is awesome. The Jack Sigma era Sonics.
I'd have to think. I'm thinking more. Is Gary Payton and Sean Kemp?
They split them. They were in both.
Okay.
When they went to against the Bulls in the finals, not those.
The cursive logo you're talking about?
No, it was kind of like 70s disco-y and had a yellow Space Needle.
See what you did when you brought up the Expos? Now we're going Sonics.
Anytime we go uniforms,
I like the wormhole.
I'm your man. I am your man. Freddie Freeman, I like that baseball guys are starting to talk sleeve. It means we're getting close to the beginning of spring training. And the Dodgers, of course. Question's always going to be, every guy, I'm sure Max Muncy's sitting at his house, wherever he lives right now, going, how many times are they going to ask me why this year's going to be different than the other ones? Mm. They all know it's coming, and Freddie Freeman got the question.
A lot of people picked us to win that last year, and we had a really, really good team. But baseball, I think everyone that knows it's been inside of baseball, crazy things happen. Did anybody think in an 87 or team, Philadelphia Phillies team, was going to get to the World Series? In 88, Atlanta when Atlanta Braves team is going to win the World Series, that's why we play so many games, and that's why it's 8-9 months long, because baseball is a beautiful sport, and sometimes it can smack you right down, and it did to us last year, but we're excited to get going in a couple weeks.
How sick is he, Kershaw? I don't want to name the players. Every guy wearing Dodger blue this year going to be sick of that question by the time the first spring training pitch is thrown.
Yeah, I was going to say, if he thinks it's just starting, right? It hasn't started, right? I think that they know that that's coming. They know that you can't win 111 games and lose to a team that you absolutely, I think, won 14 of 19 from the Padres during the regular season. So that question's coming. And when you have expectations like the Dodgers, I don't think it's a surprise or anything like that, but they will be sick of it before March 1st even comes around.
Why does this feel so different than previous years? Because they won the World Series in 2020, but that's not that long ago. It's not that recent either. But that catastrophe that happened last year seemed to land differently than all of the other failures that they've had along the way. It just kind of changed the look. You guys can go put together whatever you want. Just let me know when the playoffs start. My feeling has been that since they lost last year, but it feels like it's kind of in the universe for everybody. Like, I don't want to hear who you got, who you didn't get. Just let me know when October gets here and let me know why it's going to be different.
I think last year was different because you do have a history of that. So that's already there. People are already thinking about it. When you're going into game one, Dodgers playoff game, I'm not saying that you spend all your time thinking of the Braves and the Nationals, but it's there. Mm-hmm. And it's not like there is some weight on that.
But last year at the beginning of the year, did you get that sense that I don't care what happens during the regular season, it's only the World Series? There was like, oh my gosh, this team's amazing. Freddie Freeman's here. There was this excitement about the regular season that feels missing.
I 100% got the feeling that you said that people were saying,
oh my gosh.
But not even just, oh my gosh, go win a World Series. I really do believe that. And that's last year. And that's what the Dodgers, by the way, that's what they've built. They've built we're not here to make the playoffs. We're not here to win a round or two. We're here to win a World Series. So for me, that was the conversation. And then the regular season started, and they're demolishing teams. Their run differential, the 111 wins, all that stuff. I think you look back at the history of the Dodgers over the last 10 years, you look at all the disappointments that they've had, plus then you have a team that's absolutely stacked with Trey and Mookie and Freddie and go down the list, and then you win 111 games, and like you said, the playoffs started and the playoffs were over for the Dodgers.
I don't know what it is. It's a weird mix of, I don't want to say I don't care because I do, but this, I don't care how you get there. I don't care if you're in as the last wild card team. I don't care if you win 111 games again. None of it really interests me nearly as much as the very end. Because last year was, hey, could they win 115 games? Are they going to be, is this the greatest Dodger team of all time? This team could, and they won't, but let's say they showed up and they won 115 games. The conversation of, hey, is this the best Dodger? It's like, no, man, I don't care. I just really don't care unless they punch their
ticket. I was going to ask you this question. How much, and I think you already answered it right here, how important do you think it is to winning the division if you're the Dodgers?
It's important, but for not for the reasons that you might think.
So what I would say to that is, well, they've already been in scenarios where they've won the division.
Yeah.
I don't think any of that stuff really, and I get what the advantage is. I'm not trying to downplay it, but they've done that.
Yeah.
Have they cashed in? I think that's just the only thing that matters there. How important is it to win 100-plus games? It's not important.
It's not.
How important is it to – what's important is you get in the playoffs and you're healthy for that postseason run. That would really be the only thing that's important.
Healthy, yeah, but sleep, not even so much health for me as just can you just please be hot when it matters?
Sure.
And go ahead, try to figure out who's hot when. It doesn't make any sense. But the only thing I'll say about the division – is it matters simply because you get a little bit of an easier path. It doesn't make it easy. It makes it slightly easier. The Padres had to go beat the Mets 2 out of 3. Yep. Just if you can skip it, I'd rather skip it than have to go do it.
You're not wrong, but what's kind of funny about that, I heard so many people because teams that played in that wild card and won carried some momentum, and then people were then saying, well, you know, they have an advantage because they played 3 games. I'm like, which one is it? I'd rather be sitting at home while you're trying to survive personally.
No, I couldn't agree more. It'll be interesting to see how that shakes out over the next several years. Because remember, last year was the first year we had that format. This could be the one time where the team that had to go on the road, what did they win, 3 of the 4 series? that it
yeah,
could,
it was 3 of 4.
It could never happen. We could do this for the next 30 years,
yeah, 3 of 4.
And it could never happen where 3 of the 4 road teams won it again.
Well, and in the NL championship, it was the Phillies and the Padres, the last two to get in the NL.
It was the 5 and 6 seed.
And AL was different because it was the Yankees and the Astros.
And you had the Padres hosting the NLCS, which go ahead and figure that one out. The Dump coming up next, a little super crosstalk as well. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Today is National Girls and Women in Sports Day today. Emily, are you celebrating?
I am celebrating by working in sports. It's crazy. And it's something that I, as a young age, I always wanted to do. And And I give my props to my parents and to people in my life that like never said I couldn't do anything, always gave me all the avenues in which I could go and achieve these things. And I just want to give a special shout out to the other ladies at the station. On the content side, we got Laura, Lindsay, Rebecca, and then obviously led by our fearless leader, Amanda.
Sure.
Got Momo, all these great women here at work that make every day a little easier. And I also want to give a shout out to my mentor, Amanda. Anna Catherine Clay in college. And if any girls, women out there that are looking into it, they're looking into
going. You know,
going
I
to
made the face, don't
I
you?
I do. Yeah. They're looking into sports, into media like this. It's there are great women here that can support you and lift you up, and I think that should be celebrated.
Very well said.
Awesome.
Very well said. As my wife was an athlete, right? She was the. I'll give her a quick little shout out right here. She was the Pacific League Player of the Year her senior year in high school in girls volleyball. Mm-hmm. She's on the track team. She was on the soccer team. She was the Athlete of the Year at Arcadia High class in 1989. Mm-hmm. She was an athlete, and I just kind of thought that this is what girls do, right? They play sports and they kick ass at these things, and it. All of these things, like what you said, it's so nice to hear it. But I keep coming back to this. It's so much fun to play, whether you're a boy, a girl, you know.
Of course.
It's just fun to be on a team. It's fun mm-hmm. to be on a basketball team or a soccer team and just kind of run around out there. And I don't care if you never score a goal or a basket. That bus ride to the game in high school is awesome. Calling your coach names when they can't hear you is awesome. And you only get that through sports. You don't go to chemistry lab and talk about how much you can't stand this guy or that team. It's very unique to sports. I'm glad everybody gets to experience
it. Both my nieces, and they kind of grew up doing this as well, they love it. Soccer, volleyball. They became big NBA fans. Like, you get it at a certain age, and it kind of grows with you, especially if you play at a certain age. So it's great.
So much fun, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that everybody gets to experience that. Harry Styles turns 29 today.
Ayo.
Big day.
Anybody want to help me out here?
One Direction fame.
Yeah, you don't know who Harry Styles is?
I know that he is a famous person. Yeah. I thought he was a musician, so apparently I'm correct. But
he's in One Direction. He was in that, you know, the boy band, and now he's had a solo career. He had the top single of the year.
Since One Direction.
If
he's flourished.
I put together a lineup of two people, could you be 100% certain that you're going to pick Harry Styles?
100%, I'd have a 50% chance.
He had the top song of the year, as it was.
I believe you. I'm not.
We're not questioning his resume. Yeah. That's not what we're questioning.
I know he's famous. I just don't know who he is.
If he walked in tomorrow, and
new
I would just
rep?
Say,
oh my god! Well, good looking sales rep. I'm
yeah, but look.
I would say he's Parker's friend. I'd have no idea.
Also, one thing about him too, Travis. I don't know if you remember this when we were going to SoFi for games, but he had his like. Quote-unquote residency at the Kia Forum. He had like 14 nights sold out, something like that. I know I'm wrong about the dates, but like he was there for a long time. Girls would be intense outside the Kia Forum like 4 days before the show starts. It's ridiculous.
I have come to I
would never do 4 days. I do 3 days. That's my limit.
Right.
I've entered a point in my life where I'm perfectly comfortable and willing to admit that I know nothing about who's famous. And the Harry Styles is a perfect example. I don't care. Like, and I don't mean that like disrespectfully to him. I just I don't care that I don't know. Does that make sense?
Of course it makes sense.
You already know all the information you're going to know.
I've got enough stuff. I know what the 1978 Topps baseball cards look like. I'm holding on to that information.
Why
I'm
would
not
you
kicking
need
it out.
Why would you use Why would you take Harry Styles' info and then all of a sudden some of that has to go away?
Exactly.
That's unfair to you.
Exactly. The Arena Football League is coming back. They have a new ownership group. They're going to be back on the field in 2024. They have been dark for the last 4 years, but the AFL, the Arena Football League, is coming back, Al.
Yeah, I got season tickets this morning, so I'll be at every game calling the halftime. I only got the halftime pick. They didn't give me pre or post.
It's an odd experience. I went to
one. Yeah, you said it's very unique. I've never been.
I believe they were called the Avengers, the LA Avengers. I think that's what it was.
Sounds right.
I went to one of their games a long time ago, and I can't even tell you what it was other than at the end of the game, I had enjoyed myself. It wasn't football.
Yeah.
It's played on like a field the size of a hockey rink, and everybody's in motion before the. It's so bizarre, but it's kind of fun.
Why do I feel like when I was maybe a teenager, maybe a little bit younger, when did arena football kind of have a moment?
In the late 80s.
Okay,
In the late 80s, early 90s.
Had a little moment.
It sure did. And by the way, the NFL went and found some guys from the Arena League that I believe Kurt Warner played in the Arena League.
Iowa Barnstormers.
Yeah, there were some guys that were NFL caliber talents playing in that league.
Hmm.
Now you've got all these whack side leagues, the AFL, the USFL. I think the XFL is coming back again. Yeah. It's a lot of CFL.
I always think about it. I mean, are there people – listen, I don't know. I genuinely don't. Is this like – hey, I'm so excited that this is coming back. Is there a hunger for that?
In a state like Iowa where they don't have any other professional sports.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then did you go to Barnstormer games?
I've been to one game. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
But it's not the equivalent. Football. Listen, it's not the same thing, Trav, but it's the equivalent of having a minor league team in a really small market and you really care about that minor league team. Because that's your town, your city.
They're going to sell tickets, sell beer. Those small cities will sell out.
I believe it was the Anaheim Kiss, where they literally had like Gene Simmons on the side of the helmet. That didn't really catch on.
I remember
we were having lunch when I worked for the Angels, working down there. We went to lunch at like JT Schmid's or whatever that place is. It wasn't me and Artie. And all of a sudden, like two or three big guys come in, like unusually large human beings, like 6'4", like broad, big, barrel-chested dudes. And there was like five or six of them. And I'm like, that's not a coincidence. You don't get that many guys that size all together at once. And the guys was like, yeah, no, the Kiss come here after they practice over at the pond. I'm like, the what? the who does the what?
Kiss.
Yeah, and then I'm like, oh my gosh, we have a Orange County Arena League team. A six-year-old in Michigan got a hold of mom or dad's phone and ordered $1,000 worth of Grubhub last weekend.
Was it Mason?
We'll have to ask him when we do.
Did they deliver the Thai food to the other Thai food place?
Okay. I'm a relatively frequent user of a delivery service. Not all the time, but period. Is there not some red flag that goes up if you order $1,000 worth of things?
And plus, if it's a, I don't know, I get it. $1,000, it's like, I need more info on the story. Let's put it that way.
$1,000, like, look, if you ordered $1,000 from Mastro's, okay.
Okay, so here's what happened. So it was multiple different places. So multiple different, like, locations were bringing them stuff. And the parents didn't realize until, I guess they're away or whatever, they didn't realize until their phone got a notification being like, hey, did you just order $496 worth of pizza from XYZ Pizza Place? Yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
There should be some
sort of suspicion there. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, hey, we're going to call. Just before we put these pizzas in the oven, we're going to call back.
Got a call from Ryan. He's six. He wants 31 pepperoni pizzas.
It's a lot. Let's do a little super crosstalk. The biggest bill that you've ever had to deal with from Grubhub or whatever your Uber Eats, whatever your delivery service of choice is, Mace, has been what?
Well, there's only two of us in the house, so you can't go too crazy. But we have ordered steak from Boa, which is definitely like a $200 thing. That's probably the most expensive. Now, I heard you guys talking about this. I am extremely proud of myself and Juan because not a single time in the month of January did we have any food delivered?
Wow.
Really?
Yes. That was the big New Year's resolution. Stop ordering Grubhub and Uber Eats and Postmates and all that stuff. Not a single time in the month of January.
Have you started
cooking?
So it's
February 1st. Yeah. So what happens?
That's a good point.
It's sort of like dry January, I think.
Yeah.
You know, we went delivery-free No, we're going to stick with this.
Did you start?
Because it is a total waste of money. I mean, there are times, and I swear to God this is true, that I have ordered, we've ordered two donuts to be delivered from DK's Donuts in Santa Monica, which is a great donut shop, but just two donuts. So there's like a $10 charge to deliver two donuts. It is such a colossal waste of money.
How
so
good was
that
donut? How good was a donut when you were eating it?
You know what it was? I'll tell you what it was. It was like one of those old fashions dunked in chocolate. And then it's got kind of that hard chocolate shell. Double dip.
Let me ask you this. What time of day were these donuts delivered?
Well, I would say they were, for me, they were prime time.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. And by the way, $10 to deliver the two donuts you just described at prime time, you would have paid triple.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, 10 o'clock at night, you don't pay as big a service charge as you do earlier in the day. But no, we're done with that. We're done with that. Done with that until we're not.
Momo, are you a delivery service person?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
A lot?
I go through stages. Like there was times, especially when I first had the baby, it was like, did we just order Postmates for the fourth time today?
Four times in like, one day?
Like, because I'll get something and my husband will get something and they'll be like, oh, I want something else for dinner. Like, you know, like each of us was ordering like from a different place. I was like, what is happening right now?
So like one person's going cheesecake, the other person's going P.F. Chang's?
No, Nevin's more like ordering some Taco Bell. And I'm like, come on, really?
Really ordering Taco Bell?
Yeah, and I'll be like a Jersey Mike's or I'll order some kind of sandwich place all the time.
Is this because you shouldn't be driving or is this just pure laziness?
Well, I mean, I literally was like, especially when we had the newborn. I was like, I'm not going anywhere. Yeah.
Send Nevin out to go get it.
Yeah, I need him here too. I'd rather
two
him
kids.
Just be
you got to watch
here.
One.
Yeah,
of
he's
them.
He's got to watch the toddler.
By the way,
Taco Bell's around the corner.
It really is around the corner. It's so ridiculous.
When I say we're not having anything delivered, it does mean that there is a donut shop within. I won't call walking distance. I'll call it stumbling distance.
That helps. That helps.
It's so stupid how much money it costs, though, Mace. You're right.
It's a joke.
I'm like, I'll be sitting there and I get alerts on my phone when Nevin orders the Postmates. And I'll be like, $38 from Taco Bell. I'm like, what can you get for $38? Like, God, like I got like two burritos.
How many Mexican pizzas is that?
I think I've told you guys this story before. I was up in Northern California. I was playing in a golf tournament with some buddies, just a little thing that we do with a bunch of our college guys. But there's a little bit of money in the pot, right? So we won the tournament one year, and I won. It was like, I don't know, it was like $500. And I was 26 or 7 years, a lot of money to me at the time. And it still is a lot of money. And we're driving back. We were in a cab, of all things. This was pre-Uber and everything else. And I had $500 in my pocket, and I decided we're going to Taco Bell. And I'm in line. We've been having a good time all day long. And there's this family in line behind me. And I said to the guy, I turned around and said, you know what? On me. Whatever you guys want, get whatever you want. I just want a little money, and I'm in a good mood. This guy ordered more food for him, his wife,
to work.
And it was, you know, the little trays they put the food on?
Yes.
It was a mountain of tacos on that tray. And it was like $49. You know how hard it is to spend $50 at Taco Bell? It's impossible to do. That Nevin did it is impressive.
For Devin, it's a Wednesday.
Yeah, Nevin.
It's not that. Or Nevin.
It's okay. Everybody calls him
Don't
Nordberg.
Don't worry. Sleewood doesn't remember anything about anything.
This is easy.
He doesn't remember your husband.
Phil Nevin. And Nevin, it is. I got it.
Yeah, you'll remember.
That's you know what? You know what? The thing that bugs me the most is that he goes on like an Atkins diet. Sometimes he'll be like, "Oh, I put on some weight. I'm gonna do my no carbs," and he'll eat the most unhealthy food. I'll come home, and he's got like a plate of 5 hot dogs with bacon and cheese on it. Just the hot dog with bacon, and it smells disgusting. Like it's like all that processed meat. Because it's not like he cooks it good. He cooks it like in the microwave or something, right? And then he'll come in to me at the end of the week. Hey, guess what? I lost 4 pounds this week. So I hate that. Come on.
By the way, the Atkins thing was gigantic. What? Yeah. 20,
huge.
Now they're doing keto.
About 20 years ago.
A variation of Atkins. But about 20 years ago, Atkins was huge.
So
when
good.
When I was on in New York, Dr. Atkins was a regular guest.
Yeah.
The Dr. Atkins.
Yes.
And he was evangelizing about the Atkins diet. And I remember taking like a whole bunch of pastrami, throwing it in a frying pan, throwing Swiss cheese on it.
I'm on a diet.
Like as much meat and cheese as you wanted. It was crazy.
Yeah, Devin orders Taco Bell, like, and he'll just order like five burritos and just not eat the tortilla.
Oh.
Momo, which part of the valley did you grow up in?
In Woodland Hills.
Woodland Hills. Okay, so you may or may not know this. Mace, I think you worked nearby as well. There was, and may still be there, on Ventura Boulevard in Victory.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's my area.
So there used to be a Pizza Hut. Not, not like like the one you'd go sit down in, had the salad bar, had the whole thing, right? Me and Jason Stewart, what up, Jace, too? We were on the Atkins together.
Uh-huh.
Okay, we're both, and so we're trying to, you know, stay responsible to one another. We're trying to make sure that we eat the cheese and the meat and all these things. We discovered that they had a lunch buffet at that Pizza Hut on the corner of whatever that is, Ventura and Victory. We went in there. If it wasn't every day, it was damn near every day.
Are you sure it's a Pizza Hut, not the Pizza Cookery?
It was a Pizza Hut because it was the one that was shaped like the hat. Okay. I vividly remember it.
All right.
And they had all the pizzas laid out under the heat lamp in the middle of the store. And Jay and I would go and we'd scrape all of the cheese and pepperoni and sausage right off the top of the pizza into our plates. Like you were talking, Mace, where you'd cook up the pepper of the pastrami.
Yeah.
We would have all of these pizza crusts stacked up at our table and just mow through all of the meat and cheese. And it got to the point where when you'd show up to the restaurant, you could see the manager like, these idiots are back again.
Yep. Oh,
they're just
good.
We would take down three, four pizzas worth of just cheese just and cheese pepperoni. And,
Mace, they had to change the whole corporation business based off of what Travis was doing.
Yeah. The thing about it is it sounds great. And then after about 3 days, you're like, oh, no, not more meat and
just
cheese
an apple.
And bacon. It doesn't Morales do this? Doesn't Morales do? Didn't he do like the Atkins bacon diet
doing, like,
or
a
something
pound
like that?
Of bacon.
He was doing multiple pounds of bacon.
He was doing bacon and coffee.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I used to go to Starbucks, and they would say like, you when you were doing Atkins, you had to order. You don't get it with any milk, or you get it with heavy cream. So you're like, can I get an iced coffee with heavy cream?
And right.
Turns it in like a milkshake. God. It's delicious.
It's like eating straight fat.
By the way, I just pulled up. Dr. Atkins weighed 258 pounds when he died. Now, I knew him.
What's wrong with that?
Why'd you say it like that?
He was probably 5'9 or something.
Yeah. He was not a tall man, but 258 pounds. Yeah, I don't have no idea. He fell. That's how he died. Hmm. He died at age 72, but he weighed 258 pounds. I don't think that diet was working at the end.
No.
Hey, we got the over on 70, I guess. What is the average right now? Are we up to 80 yet for men, Mace?
I heard we were 74.
Okay.
That's it for men?
Yeah.
Women are a little more.
Slightly higher, typically a year or two.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you take 74 right now, Mace?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it's 77.
Oh, okay.
So, no, I'll pass on 74. I'll take 77.
Yeah, 77. Yeah.
And women are what,
right?
79? Good. Something like that.
Yeah, women in the U.S.
Average life
expectancy. By the way, this is one of those things.
By the way, it went down from COVID. Like
it did.
The last few years, like it dropped like a year or so.
It was taking out the older folks, too.
Yeah, women, 79.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Would you take 79 or you're going to get the over there?
I'm going to go with the over.
Yeah.
I'm going to get in shape. I walk every night.
All right.
How many steps do you walk, Momo?
I go like a mile or two every night.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I started doing that was like the best way to lose weight, but also to just anxiety at night. I tend to be like a nighttime anxiety person. So if I just get out and just get some fresh air, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm at 7,083 steps so far.
Do you wear like Fitbit or you just look at your phone or what are you doing?
I've got one of them Apple Watches.
Oh, okay.
You should pace back and forth during the show.
7,000 by this time is pretty good.
Do laps in your living room to get to 10,000?
He has a 50-foot headset cord.
So, Brady, this one stick? Is he done?
Oh, yeah, he's got to be done.
Yeah,
right?
I think he's done.
He basically apologized that we went through this song and dance again. And so, he said in this one, you only get one big tearful apology once. Yeah. But this was short, sweet, and farewell.
Obviously, selfie video. I don't think anyone filmed that. Like, I feel
it's
like
a weird angle.
Yeah, it was a weird angle.
It was a weird angle.
It was like he literally just woke up this morning and said, I'm going to do this.
I think I agree with you guys with one possible exception. I want to save 2%. I want to hold 2% back.
Really?
Yes.
Me too.
I'm curious what yours is, Ramona, because mine is basically this scenario that we just saw with the 49ers. And I'm not talking about in the NFC Championship game. I'm talking Trey Lance gets hurt. Here comes the backup who you trust, theoretically. He goes down. You've got the running back. You got the coach. You got the wide receivers. You got the lights out defense. I just need you to come in here. You got a great coach and just kind of get us to the finish line right here. I think that's the one very specific scenario that might draw him back.
So you're saying in season?
Late in season, not even like early in season.
I was going to say that next year. I was going to say like not even next year, but a year later. Like he'll go try to do something else for a while.
He's going to be 47 years old.
So what? He can still throw a ball. He's going to stay in shape.
Yeah.
I mean,
why do you think that? But is it out of boredom? Because I was telling Al that I think he's going to be terribly bored doing TV. I think he's going to be bored not competing.
Yep.
And he's going to have that, I need to go back and try it again.
By the way, I don't know if this is a controversial take. I think he's going to be terrible on TV.
I do too.
I don't think he's got an edge to him.
Nope.
I don't think he's funny. He's a fairly, I mean, at least, you know, in his media, he never makes me laugh.
Okay.
He certainly understands the game better than you know, virtually everybody. But in terms of edge and humor and all that stuff that goes along, I just don't see Tom Brady being a great analyst.
He's got you fooled.
Oh, really?
Yes. I know a little something on this
one. He's a real cut-up?
Yeah, he's good. He's just public persona. He's always just shown this because anything else would be a distraction. But when people who know him, like, you know, people who like really know him and hang out with him say he's really funny and he's got.
They
like
say the same thing about Bill Belichick, right? Yeah. That he actually has a sense of humor that when you're inside the bubble, he's more human than he appears to be. But I've heard that about other people before, and it's not private. It's not with the guys. It's going to be the most public thing he does. He's going
to
be doing it in front
have
of
to be
tens
entertaining
of millions
because
of people.
Of that contract?
Yes.
That contract's going to be insane.
A lot. Yeah, I think he's going to be good. I don't know if he's going to be enthusiastic, but I do think he's got an edge to him, and he's sarcastic and funny. And so
he's already better than Romo, I can tell you that. I'm so sick of Romo at this point. Shut up, dude.
But guys, Momo, I'm curious what you think about this. Because I agree with you that he might have an edge, that he might have a sense of humor. That my question isn't does he have it, it's is he willing to let us see it.
Let it rip.
That's different.
Does he want to be great at this? Like, do you want to be really good at this? So there's a transition period when you get done playing where, and I, because I deal with a lot of the former players over there on TV, right? I remember I was in the green room with Chauncey Billups once in Bristol, and we're there. It must have been 10 o'clock at night Eastern, and we're there for like the late night Sports Center or whatever was going on. And we were just kind of hanging out watching the games. And Chance was like, he really missed the game. And this was like his connection to basketball still. But I could tell he wasn't going to be long for this job. Like, this was just a stop on the way to coaching or stop on the way to front office work. And it was just a catch a breather. Let's go do TV for a year. I could tell. We talked about it openly. Like, I miss basketball. I love basketball.
Mace, do you think, too, that he'd be bored by the idea of, okay, I'm flying in. I'm going to talk to the offensive coordinator on Saturday afternoon, and we're going to come, and we're going to – it's what he's done for 30 years.
It seems so mundane.
Yes,
right?
For him.
It seems so mundane compared to what he's done with his entire life and career. Mm-hmm. I just wonder if he's going to have that – spark. Just because you're good, I mean, and this has been proven over and over again, just because you're a good player doesn't make you a great analyst. And sometimes great analysts weren't necessarily great players. So I think they're two separate skills. Now, Momo, you're saying he's a cut up behind the scenes.
I think he's sarcastic, kind of, I don't want to say frat boy funny. That's not the right word. But like one of the guys kind of funny. Like he can be really sarcastic and
but what's
biting.
One of the guys kind of funny is exactly that. It's biting. It's mean. It's a little bit mean, and guys take that pretty well. They're okay with that. That's how it works. It's what makes Charles Barkley so good. Charles Barkley gives zero, you know what. He's just letting it rip. And that's why he's him. He's funny, smart, and all these other things, but he doesn't give a damn. Very few people don't give a damn.
So let me show you how I'm wired differently than you, okay? My first thought when he decided to retire was, okay, so now he basically got divorced because he played this year.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe was the marriage already over before? Mm-hmm. Before he decided to play again, or was the playing again the last straw? And this is where, because my mind is always in like Bravo TV land. Like, yeah, I just want to know.
This is in the Bravo verse or whatever.
In the Bravo verse. Like, yeah. What do you think he just played because he was going to be bored getting divorced?
Let me ask you this. I'm going to ask you
and retired.
Answer your question with another question. Do you really think she's leaving because he played one more season, or was that thing hanging by a thread to begin with?
I think it was hanging by a thread.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think it was hanging by a thread. And that might have been why he came back.
Right.
Distract him from,
like, that's what I think. Now it all kind of fits together differently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe I think they were getting a divorce probably before he decided to come back, and he's staring into the abyss of retirement and divorce. And you know, some guys go buy a yacht and sail around the Caribbean and do whatever they want to do, or play golf everywhere. Mm-hmm. But I think Tom was like staring into the abyss, being like, maybe I'll play again.
And he's the greatest to ever do it, and probably the disconnect of leaving is incredibly difficult. Probably a lot to factor
into. Oh, the transition's got to be unbelievable. I mean,
especially for him.
Mm-hmm. For him, yeah.
So who's the first one he dates?
Ooh,
who's the first celebrity?
First celebrity he dates.
Well, who was that model at the game?
He's the two women that he had, obviously his wife, Giselle, and the other woman that he had a child with, Bridget Moynihan. They're famous women. Like, he has, he likes a profile. So I don't know.
What do we think?
Does he go age, or roughly his age?
No, definitely midlife crisis. definitely. So, at least 10 years younger.
Are we going 30 or below? Because he's 45 years old.
Yeah.
30.
I guess
is he going to be
right
Leo DiCaprio?
He fires him when they turn 25.
The cutoff age is 25?
Yeah. Happy birthday. Get out.
Yes.
That's the way it goes. Mason and Ireland coming up next. Super Crosstalk is powered by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about.